Hey guys, welcome to this episode of the Street Cop Training Podcast. I'm your host, founder, and CEO of Street Cop Training. Today I'm here with, people don't know is that we were partners for a while. Maybe sort of talked about it on the last podcast, but Sean Grogan, body language expert, connoisseur, instructor, old partner of Dennis Bonino, got him into his first pursuit. That's me getting him into his first pursuit. That's actually, did we talk about in the last podcast how funny that was?
Yeah, we did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sean is here, and we're going to talk about Beware the Body, Sean Grogan's new book. Did you purposely choose the cover to look like a New Jersey license plate?
No, I didn't. I figured yellow would almost a danger signal on top of that. It was. I didn't even notice that.
I didn't. But yeah, it looks like a New Jersey license plate.
It really does.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah.
That's good. People know you're from Jersey.
Yeah. I didn't even realize that.
How has life been on the road, nonstop classes?
Oh, it's great. I enjoy it. Don't get me wrong. I miss family when I'm not home. But when I come back, I spend the time with the family that's I make up for it. But, you know, I spend more quality time. And going on the road has been great. Cops from around the country. It's wonderful.
Dude, how has your discipline with waking up early been?
Oh, we got to talk about that on the podcast.
Yeah.
It switches. It depends on the day. Some days I'll be up at 7. Other days, I'm like, I'll work till 2 in the morning. I'll wake up at 10. I need my sleep. You know that. I need my sleep.
Oh, you're a nightmare to hang out with. Go somewhere and sleep over somewhere. This dude made us miss baseball games. Like, he had a routine.
Well, we went to the game. We saw outside of
the stadium.
We saw the outside of Fenway Park.
Anyway, so what do we want to talk about today with the Beware of the Body book?
Just
so you know, I haven't read it.
You haven't read it yet?
Well, did you do the audio version yet?
Audio's coming out. And probably a week.
You recording
or two.
It?
No, it's not me. You hear me? I told my accent's too thick. I got a dopey voice. I've got some guy from the West Coast, very clean sounding, smooth.
Oh, yeah.
Checked out a lot of different narrators.
You sound like somebody's old Uncle Vito who smokes way too much. By the way, Sean doesn't smoke anymore.
No.
And like drinks Budweiser fucking cans.
No, who, me?
That's what you sound. What I'm saying is what you sound like.
No.
Like you sit at a table and just smoke. And you're like, hey, how are you? And you're like,
good to see you again.
Right? Like that raspy. You kind of sound like you could almost be a grumpy character on Sesame Street.
I don't want to live in a trash can, though. I want to be another character.
Yeah.
The Snuffleupagus.
Yeah, I guess if you want to go with that. What are people going to learn in the book when they read the book?
You learn things such as 5 pin pulls or pre-attack, pre-flight indicators. On top of that, anti-victim movements. There's studies out there that have been done that no one knows about. They took, for example, they took a bunch of convicts and they said, hey, watch these videos of people we filmed in a high crime area in New York City. And they filmed them walking through the city. And they said, which ones would you attack and which ones would you leave alone? And they did a scale. And they found, just from the way people walk, they would decide who they wanted to attack. And they found things such as, there's a whole list of things, but such as the people that don't move their arms much when they walk, or maybe they wobble. And you look at that and you say, okay, that kind of makes sense. Because what are they doing there? As predators, they're picking easier prey. If you look at a wolf or another predatory animal, they don't go after the strong buffalo. They go after that weakling, the one that's not moving right because it's probably injured. It's easier to attack. There's things like that in there. There's also things on foreshadowing, different movements we make that tell us what someone might have intentions of doing with their body. On top of that, other parts of anti-victim mentality and movements.
And it translates to like a cop and how they're carrying themselves.
100%. That's what most of it. It is geared for the general public, but there's a lot more specifically for law enforcement. I started out writing the book specifically for law enforcement, and then I cast that net a little bit wider. There's a lot of things in there as far as they've done studies, the FBI looking at 2 cops that stopped the same piece of shit. And the one cop didn't get killed by this piece of shit, even though he had a loaded gun underneath and he was thinking about it. The second cop, unfortunately, ended up getting shot and killed. And if you look at the methods that were used and how he approached, such as keeping eye contact with him the entire time, hand on the gun, appeared ready, confident, alert, and ready, what I call the car method.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So people got to put some thought into how they're showing up and how they're appearing.
100%. You can't come in. I mean, you remember how locked down we were? Like, we didn't fucking go out on the road and just, oh, hey, everything's fine. We were locked on when we dealt with people. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing with younger officers today. I'm sure in academies, they're probably not, I shouldn't assume, but it's probably more with the world in general. Hey, you know, be nicer to people. And yes, we were never rude to anybody. We right. were always very personable. But at the same token, people on the street, you're not dealing with, not everybody's your fucking friend.
No. And I don't think people for a second thought that they could win against us.
No.
Yeah, I don't think that they realized that we were not the cops that we were going to be able to get over on pretty quickly.
No.
And by the way, there were other cops as well. I mean, there are other cops that, like, you know, especially when you're newer, right? I always say that, you know, the world doesn't care that you're a rookie. So if you're ill-trained and somebody's looking to take your life, the world doesn't care that you're a rookie.
Yeah. Well, it's when I was new and you had that car stop behind a Mirage and there was the loaded 357 underneath the passenger. I tell that story during the class. I'm actually going to tell it on the webinar that I go over
a video of that.
The guy started walking around, like trying to move around. And I was young, but I still was like, yo, my man, where are you going? Get back over here. He's like, oh, I was trying to fix the laptop.
Who were you riding with then? It was me and Mitch then.
I don't think you guys were partnered up yet. I think I was alone. Or did I? Or were you already partnered up?
Well, that job, you talk about the Red Avenger or whatever it was.
I think it was. Yeah, it was behind the Mirage. It was, and they had stuff on the trunk.
Oh, something different. Wait, which one was it? I forgot which.
I want to say female driver, male passenger, but that's right. You know, that's probably what a lot of them.
Yeah, yeah. So that was true. That was. I'll show you the video.
Yeah, let me see that video because he moved around, and I'm like, get
you
back.
Guys,
I should have cuffed
him. With somebody else. You might have been field training. Nah, yeah, you probably were field training because when Mitch left the bureau, that's when I took you. That's when you became my partner.
Okay. Yeah. You know what? Now that you mentioned it, I think there was someone else there.
So, yeah. Because that was me and Mitch's job. Yeah. We had to suppression hearing on it. We won, but with suppression hearing on it. That was a big, like, if you watch that video of us, huge tactical errors. And it really comes down to just one thing is, like, nobody ever trained us. At that agency, we all went out and just, we had horrible training. So we just went out and did the job and learned by mistake and non-mistakes and a lot of lessons learned.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You didn't. There was no good formal training, not the academy, not the hook, and not the in-house, not the field training. It was all, nothing was correct.
So you and I would go out. We went training, paid for ourselves. How many times did we go to training we paid for on our own time? Constantly.
Yeah.
Constantly. I would show up with your fucking faux hawk. What is it? A mohawk and fucking.
That mohawk.
It was like a painted on shirt. And we walk in like 10 minutes late because it's Morris County. We hit traffic. Yeah, and everybody's looking like, who the fuck is this guy? Yeah, hey, can we see your ID, sir?
We were ball breakers, dude. Like, I never wanted to, like, I wanted to piss people off all the time. And because I, you know, I don't like people that are, like, literally rigid and follow the rules a lot.
Dude.
I would just break balls. And I wouldn't be rude in class. I just wanted to be a little different and be noticed. And I did it another, I went to an event, and it was a conference. And I went there because it was in the South, like, really trying to look as Jersey as possible. Like, flat brim fucking Yankees hat. Oversized shirt, big sweatpants. Like, I wanted to look like I wanted to annoy people that I was there. You know what I mean? Like, I did. So yeah, there was many occasions where, you know, and that's why I say, like, I don't really have a whole issue with anybody showing up to my training course. I don't care what you look like.
Oh, I tell people if we're not in a department and I know they're coming back because
you're in an academy, you got to watch.
Or an academy, yeah. But if we're in a hotel venue or a community, I'll tell people after the first day. A lot of times, if I remember, I'll say, "Listen, you come if you're here tomorrow. I don't give a fuck what you wear. You're coming here, sweatpants, sandals, however you're comfortable." Because this at the end of the day, I understand it's becoming in some areas a more white collar job. I guess you want to call it that, but it's still at the fundamentals. At the end of the day, you know, we're not dressing up in suits to go fight somebody that just. Fucking played with their fucking anus before they fought you and smearing shit all over the place. You know, it's just,
right.
It's to me, it doesn't make sense. Why do I got to wear the collared shirt? Like I'm going to my first day of kindergarten, but nobody else should have to, unless your agency
tells you. Are
you
mocking the company policy of representing the agency?
I've worn the collared shirt without this on for, I don't know, 2.5 years. I still wear that way. You got to wear a collared shirt if you're the instructor.
These are nice.
Yeah, these are nice. I'm not mocking
this
shirt.
You've been lifting weights?
Yeah.
I can tell,
bro.
That's
all I do. You can tell I don't do cardio. But.
Yeah, no, it looks like you're getting, you're slimming down a little bit.
A little bit.
Lifting some weights.
Yeah, just.
Becoming increasingly more attractive.
That's what I'm trying to do. I got that thing coming, that Invisalign.
Oh, you're doing that too?
Not that one, the Smile Direct. Because you know what? You film yourself enough, and I don't realize, because usually I take a picture, I see my mouth's closed. Because I got a big stupid smile. Like, I really pay attention to, obviously, my own body and facial. I'm like, what the fuck? This tooth isn't that fucked up. I'm like, what's going on here? I'm like, I can't have this. I got to straighten this thing out. Become a public figure. You know what I mean?
Here's a guy who recognizes not excuses, taking initiative, taking action.
Yeah, you got to.
In the conversation, our last podcast we filmed. Excuses. The yeah, but. But. Or at least acknowledge what your downfalls are. You know, it's not yeah, but. So you gotta get that 5 a.m. wake up dial.
You doing 5 or you doing 5:30? You doing 5. 5, yeah, that's. Well, what time are you going to sleep, Dan?
My eyes are closed at 10 o'clock. I'm unconscious. 9:54, 9:55 last night.
When I wake up early, you get so much shit done. Like, I'm just
it's
I'm
a different on fire. Game, brother. Yeah. It's a different game. I actually was in the airport the other day. I was boarding the plane, so that means I was up at 3:45 in the morning. I said, you know, I was thinking about us and how, like, when you're a cop, you get such a rise out of working midnights. And then now I'm like, man, people don't realize the real discipline, the real rise is getting up really fucking early.
I wish
I could get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I hate to make an excuse, but like, that means I got to try to convince my kids to go to bed at 8 o'clock at night. And that's just not happening. These motherfuckers are like, yeah, no, it's not going to happen.
No, that's, I mean, even with my kids, it's one of those things. But getting up before them is important. Now I remember what I wanted to say before. You said you had the podcast about, yeah, but, and you put out to us about saying, right, in the instructor group. And I noticed afterwards, I texted you, I was like, I fucking said right during the class. Cause you'll say, you know, this is what I know. You see this all the time, right? And I'm like, what the fuck did I just say? I didn't really, cause I know the ums and the ahs. We know that because you've been at MOI, the ers. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, just silent, mm-hmm. But the rights, I'm like, fuck, I didn't realize I was doing that. And that, like I said, I don't like looking too much at myself.
That is a quintessential tell of a master instructor. Is one is not the ums and the ers, the dramatic pauses, but two, the acknowledging. You hear this in like a lot of business talks. So like da da da, right? Blah blah blah, right? Yeah. So when we do these things, right? Like that's what we think, right? Like da da da. And when you recognize the rights, they get redundant. And I'm probably ruining a lot of stuff for people because I go to the classes. It's so funny. Like as an instructor for you, all the guys who are still working, and they have to go take mandatory in service, I'll get messages from our instructors like, dude, I want to fucking kill myself. You have ruined me. You go to another event. You did one where they were doing for you, the company that you trained with. You don't got to talk about that, but where the woman came on a webinar and it was brutal, right?
Yeah, it was another thing. It was an overseas thing. And I was the only man. I'm like,
death by PowerPoint.
It was death by PowerPoint. And it's great information. Great. And I told you the information was fucking phenomenal. But the packaging, I was like, what is it? Can we just give me the PowerPoint then? Give me the fucking PowerPoint. I'll walk away and read it. You got it. And terrible. The way we do things, and people ask me, they're like, hey, can I get a copy of your PowerPoint? I'm like, you want a copy of the pictures? Like, there's nothing you can do with it because right. I got a picture I'm going to show or a video and I'm going to talk about it. And it's just the discipline of practicing and knowing your shit and putting it out. The thing you figure a lot of training is that people get this stuff like, hey, you're the instructor, but pass this on. This isn't shit you know, but go out there and instruct it. And then you're like, okay, death by, I just got to read off the PowerPoint. No, it's horrendous. Ugh. Horrendous.
And it's not just law enforcement, dude. I've seen it in business stuff.
Oh, yeah. This wasn't law enforcement. This was, more of
a business profile.
Not just business, but it was mastering persuasion and things of that nature. So it was all a wide array of people from around the world, mostly Australia.
Yeah, I think I'm putting thought into the PowerPoints that are out there. And, you know, if you're listening to this podcast and there's a lot of people listen to it, like, you could check our stuff out or just go on YouTube and put in how to create a great PowerPoint, how to speak, how to give a great presentation. Like, those things, especially if you're going to even present to your muster room. Remember somebody we know, a supervisor, we're not saying names in here, tried to make a joke one time in a presentation, in his muster room presentation. You know what I'm talking about. You don't got to say his name. It just missed so badly. And I'm like, what are you trying? He's like, I was just trying to make a joke. And I'm like, yeah, it was so bad.
Yeah.
It was so bad. Like, stay in your lane, man.
Well, just never mind the jokes. I mean, you know, someone like that just, no.
Can't communicate at all.
And that's the best way to put it.
Yeah.
That's the best way to put it. There's a lack of communication skills due to, I don't know, malfunction in the brain housing group. I don't know. It's one of those things where how did this happen? who put it? Oh, fucking Rizzo in his book talks about in Kapikaze, the post turtle. Like, how the fuck did the turtle get on top of the post? Well, we know someone had to put it there. We don't know why it's there, what it's doing up there, but it's up there. It's on top of and I read that. I was like, holy shit. I love that term, a fucking post turtle.
It's probably why I love business in a different sense. I mean, I care and love law enforcement officers. But the actual business of law enforcement drives me insane. And I think most people who have some good judgment and some uncommon sense understand that as well. Even people at the top. You know, in this industry, like, you don't get to be the turtle at the top of the post. It doesn't work that way. Like, you're going to have to be some kind of other animal that gets to the top of the post in a different way. Yep. You're going to be able to climb that post. And that's what I like about it, because I was never somebody who tried to cheat the system and get to something that I didn't deserve or earn. And I'm much more proud to say, like, yeah, I built this. I earned this. Right? So, oh, I did it. See? I said, right.
Right. So you say, and that's what, even when during a podcast here, when I say, I notice it. Mm-hmm. When I'm presenting, though, that's different. I know And might it happen once? Sure. But you're on it because you know what you're doing up there.
Your conscious understanding of it.
Right?
Give us something cool, man. Give us something cool out of the book that people can take away from here. One good thing that you think is probably the most practical thing people get from class or the book.
This is what I've gotten the most feedback from classes, and it's also in the book. The three types of blading. You've got your prominent, your slight, and your enhanced. Okay. When you're looking at a slight blade, it's that 1 foot back, that one shoulder back at the same side of the foot. There could be getting ready to fucking punch you. They could be getting ready to grab a weapon on that side. Then you got the prominent blade. They're almost perpendicular to you. That shoulder's at you and they're moving. They could be gaining proximic distance at the same time, taking steps back. Now the enhanced blade, you see this, the hair on the back of your fucking neck should stand up. If you've got someone that is blading their body with one hand in a pocket, could be a jacket pocket, could be a hoodie pocket, could be a pants pocket, and the other hand's either pacifying themselves, touching their face, touching their chest, or illustrating speech, meaning it's moving around while talking. Think about it. Most people are going to have both hands out, unless there's a handicap or something of that nature. They're going to speak with you with both hands. If I get someone blading their body, one hand in pocket, and the other hand's moving around, I'm going to move around that person. If they start doing a fucking do-si-do with me and start moving and continue to blade, shit, maybe. You have to think about, what's the first thing we do? Get your hands out of your pocket. Well, how hard is it? Boom. My hand's out and I've already shot you. Mm. Now you got to think about, how am I going to approach this? Am I going to grab their arm? You can't just knock everybody out, because what if they're holding a candy bar? It's not 100%. It's going to be a weapon, but there's a good chance. It's not a movement we see every day. Are you going to take cover and call out commands? Oh, well, then I might look like a fucking idiot. Oh, guess what? I look like an idiot all the time. Who cares? I'd rather go home alive and look like a fucking idiot than get shot and killed or stabbed because I stood there, recognized something like this, and just took it with a grain of salt.
How many videos do you watch of like law enforcement officers who were shot or killed in line of duty or attacked, and it just makes your skin crawl?
Every day.
And you can circumvent that with the training, right?
100%. You can't circumvent everything, but there's things that you should be able to pick up on. There's not, hey, listen, sometimes you just don't have the time. You get ambushed, you pull up, and just something happens. Not everything can be prevented, but a lot of things you look at and you're like, they're enhanced blading. Maybe you take fucking cover. Maybe you do this. But the thing is, to go to a class and think about, how am I going to approach this? It's one thing just to say, okay, I recognize it. But now I'm recognizing, I can articulate to myself. I don't just have the hair on the back of my neck. I'm recognizing these movements that I know could harm me. I know this is a problem. And I should have a plan for it. I'm not going to just grab his arm. I'm not just going to say, take your hand out of your pocket. I'm not going to just say, okay, am I going to wait for backup? Well, that might be your plan, but then you might also want to take cover, which someone had explained to me. I'm like, that's not a bad idea. Cause I'm not a defensive tactics instructor. Mm-hmm. I don't have that. That's something to think about. We have to have that plan beforehand. Instead of just being like, I'm noticing something's off. I just got an email yesterday. No, Facebook. Facebook hit me up. Someone else hit me up on Instagram. Same thing with noticing the blading. The one I posted on Facebook, they're noticing the blading the whole time, hand on the one side, moving back. Had a gun on him. Other guy starts pacing. I go over pacing in the book as well. Erratic and dominant, the ones we're worried about, not so much the nervous and the thinking, because we're not worried about people throwing their thoughts at us on the fucking side of the road, right?
We're not throwing bullets.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's good stuff, dude.
Nice.
Imagine if, I try to think about where we're failing and how do we unfail? And where's this delicate balance between like running this company, having an organization, and being able to grow? People understand, again, there's a correlation between making money and growing and getting to more people. So those two things play hand in hand. But also I think about, how come the recruit doesn't know this? How do I fix that?
Yeah.
There could be a solution to it. I have some thoughts and things I'm going to work on. There's some personal projects. When I say personal project, this is not me like wood carving. I'm saying this is when I can really breathe for a second here, come into the lab and create some fucking magical shit. and show back up and say, here, I made this. And I think it's going to save a lot of lives.
Yeah.
That's a real thing. And I'm fortunate enough to know that I can come up with solutions to prevent the death and loss of any more police officers. And what's cool about this company is you can take Grogan's class and then you can take Jeff Smith's class and you can make a hybrid version of it, right? So Jeff Smith talks about tactics. Yeah. I go over some of them. As a matter of fact, I even prolong the class to ensure, maybe today I'll put the video out, that you are really understanding what I'm saying when I talk about officer safety tactics. I'll say this now, and I've said it before. We learn this job backwards. Think about it. We learn this job by the streets, legally, then tactically. What you should be learning is this job tactically, legally, then the streets. And that tactically and legally can really be covered in a academic environment. If you have the right instructors giving the right information out. The problem is you have the wrong instructors giving the wrong information out. And there are a lot of right instructors out there, but the challenge is how do you get all these people to be trained under the right instructors when only not many of them? And the answer is you're going to have to use the internet. So I think you're going to see a hybrid change in how police academies are done, where I would argue I would rather have Zach Miller teaching a case law class to 10,000 recruits a day and not having him there versus having somebody who doesn't know anything about case law showing up. I'd rather have the different feeling of it not being live and in your face than actually getting the wrong information, and it's a horrible, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Give me Tony Robbins' holograph. He does that. By the way, did you know that?
It does a hologram?
Yeah, it's a hologram. So he does hologram training. They did it with like Frank Sinatra. You see the hologram things. And I think they do like a Michael Jackson hologram. If you go into it, they put like concerts on with holograms.
No shit.
Yeah. It's interesting stuff. And that's where the future is going to be. It's going to be the technology. We have to recognize there's no fucking way that in the amount of police academies that we have, that you can have the talent needed to cover the vast majority of topics you must cover in that time. Huh. You're just getting the, whatever is available. And whatever is available is just not okay for an industry that can take your life at any minute. Oh. Whatever is available is no longer acceptable. And I'm sorry if people hear that. It just isn't. And as a matter of fact, even better than the others aren't good. We need great training nonstop. And not only do police deserve it, society deserves it, and criminals deserve it, because criminals deserve to be put in fucking jail where they belong.
Yep.
So that's the game. That's the overall game. How do we get this whole thing to a place where we say, I don't know if we can get any better. This is exactly where it needed to be. It's here. It's a long ways away. And the fucked up thing is, as I'm trying to figure it out and understand how to maneuver business more, people die. And that's the terrible shit about it.
Yeah.
And I can only do so many things at once, but I'm trying to figure out how to do more things and get people to understand what we're actually trying to do. But yeah, man, this is really good shit. What else do you want to talk about before? How do you get the book, man?
How do you get it? You go on Amazon. You can get it.
Beware the Body, Sean Grogan.
You get it on Kindle. You can also get the hard copy on Amazon. And like I said, about a week or two, probably, maybe even when this podcast comes out. I don't know when you're actually going to put it on.
Nah, I'll put it out this week.
Oh, okay. It might be within the week. I'm reviewing it's finished, but I'm reviewing it. The guy whose voice, and obviously everybody's like, well, you got your voice, but you hear my fucking voice.
Yeah, you can't listen to this shit.
You can't hear me all day.
You know, midnights, it's kind of soothing. It kind of sounds like an old radiator.
Yeah.
You know, in a house with old heating.
Exactly.
Put you right to sleep.
The guy's from the West Coast, and he's pretty upbeat, and he does a pretty good job.
Yeah, they're professionals.
Happy with it. Yeah.
They whack you for a pretty penny. Don't say how much.
Not horrible.
That's good.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to pay. But
yeah, well, why you pay for what you get, bro? Exactly. Cheap is expensive.
Exactly.
You want me to read it? It'll sound like shit.
I tried to get Tom Rizzo, but he wanted $500,000.
No, yeah.
I didn't even ask him. He's a busy man.
He's the busiest guy.
He's a busy guy. Didn't even bother.
Yeah. On top of being the best leader there is, Tom's the best father there is, too.
Yeah.
He literally is a taxi service for his multiple children, and they are into every goddamn sport under the sun. Huh. He just goes from one place to another. It's like a chaotic ballet of – and I'm just like, I'm just going to hire somebody to drive my kids around.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to at some point, dude.
Yeah.
Or just try to convince him to just play PlayStation. We don't go anywhere.
Play soccer on PlayStation. You don't need to go to the field.
But the little guy, number three, dude, he's into sports.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, oh, yeah, he's good. Yeah, so I actually enjoy that with him. But, yeah, he's good. And I'm just like, he asked Courtney the other day, can I play hockey? I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Right? Oh, you played hockey, right?
I play hockey.
My wife brought him to the first Devils Rangers game.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, Liked it?
Yeah, loved it. Loved, what an experience. So anyway.
That's cool.
Anything else you want to cover before we go into this?
No, that's about it.
Before we end this, I said go into this. We're done going into this. We're ending this shit.
All right.
All right, man. Listen, as always, check us out, StreetCop.com, our Facebook group for law enforcement only. You can find Sean in there as well. He's at least a moderator in the group, if not an administrator. If you want to DM him directly, you want to host his training, reach out to us. You can go to our website, click host training, or what classes he has coming up. He's all over the country, folks. If you think this is good training, what you heard, buy the book too, right? Go to the website, find out what he's coming to you, buy the book, and it's worth it. It is. He's a very entertaining instructor. Pleasantly surprised the first time I saw him teach. And Jay came back last time and said, Grogan's very funny. You didn't think he was? She goes, no. And you're looking healthier these days.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you got to maintain that discipline on the road.
Wait till I get that smile going. I eat better on the road, by the way, believe it or not.
Wow.
I don't eat while I'm instructing, like one granola bar. I eat dinner and that's it.
Do you dial it down to a banana?
From the granola bar?
Yeah, the granola bar's processed. It's loaded with sugar.
That's true.
Yeah, you start making those hacks, bro. You can start seeing some results. I was just complimented for looking a lot thinner than I was before.
Yeah, I was there. We were in a compliment.
Yeah, that's it. So I accept that. And I said to myself, well, that's worth all these cravings that I have. And I go, nope, you're not going to get me, bagel, you son of a bitch. Anyway, we'll see you guys later. Thank you for the continued support. Peace.